Right, good morning. My name's Matthew Hipple. I'm the Director of Operations for the Center for International Maritime Security, and I'm here with Sam Bhagwat, the Chief Financial Officer of the Blue Seed Project. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing very well. And yourself?
Not too bad. I guess I'll just start with a pretty obvious one. When folks go onto the Blue Seed website, I know I did, the first thing that we look at is the list of ships, what you're looking to start with. And, I mean, it's a pretty wide range. And what would you say your attitude is? I mean, the cruise ship kind of looks like a steady as she goes, or are you leaning towards more the massive custom barge, a kind of go big or go home project?
Well, we certainly like that mindset, but we, I mean, there's certainly several options for us at this stage. We're looking from anything from a new build, which we could build to our sort of specifications. That might be, now with a new build, we could custom design not only the space, but also the design of a vessel. It could well be that for stability considerations, we'd want to look at a swap type configuration as opposed to a traditional cruise ship. So those are both kind of possibilities, as well as if we're looking at purchasing and renovating and retrofitting an existing cruise ship, then obviously we would be bound by the constraints of the ship architecture,
of course,
as already existing.
Now, as not as CFO, but you as an individual, do you have a preference? I mean, me, I'll admit it, I kind of like the customized barges because they're, I mean, geodesic domes on a huge barge, that looks awesome.
You and me both. I mean, my personal favorite is kind of the one with a Blue Seed Modern Hull. But I have to say, whatever it may be, like, I'm really inspired by sort of the concept and the vision of Blue Seed, being able to have a cruise ship or a barge, but a startup community 12 miles off the coast of San Francisco in international waters, visa free, truly international, having people come from all over the world live, work on this place sort of within the Silicon Valley ecosystem. That's something that's really inspiring to me.
It's you know what, I've got to say, I really feel for that. I personally, I have a friend living in Pakistan right now who was unable to get a work visa and went to Georgetown with me, and he's an econometrics major. And you just kind of wonder, what's going on here? Why is this guy not in the United States? That leads me into the next question. This is a good segue. Now, do you see Blue Seed as a permanent project or a more stopgap measure to show the legislature the error of their ways that comes with a nice, helpful side profit? Because I realize your plan in the future is to move Blue Seed a mile off the shore if legislation changes, but do you see that as your objective? Your main goal is to change legislation and change the way we do business? Or is it an independent project, you just see a problem, you're applying a solution, and if things change, well, hey, that's how they go.
I think it's more of the latter, Matthew. It's Blue Seed is, we see Blue Seed as a project. I mean, as a, into perpetuity, where people can come from all over the world and live and work in a way that, unfortunately, due to the existing visa system currently in the United States, startup entrepreneurs cannot do that now. However, should we, we would be the first ones, cheering should the existing legislation for the United States change, even though, we'll have to change our business model slightly. But to be honest, we're not optimistic about the chances of legislation changing. There's too many there to kind of give a little bit of an overview. There's simply no visas available for entrepreneurs.
Right.
There's visas where you can work, but you can't start a business, and there's visas where you can come visit, but you can't work. None of these visas are essentially what are suitable for entrepreneurs who are trying to make their small companies into big companies. The same way so many companies that Facebook has, you know,
Right,
to
right.
Silicon Valley, Grubig, Apple, all those companies, and none of the visas are really suitable for that. That's so we sort of see ourselves as something continuing indefinitely into the future.
That's a good segue, actually. Good, we're rolling along here. It's working into all the different questions. So right now it's an American project, and I'll ask you a little bit about the potential for Blue Seed East later. But right now your primary concern is the United States, and you're looking at the visa codes. But places like, for example, Brazil, burgeoning economy, huge tax rates and restrictions on construction. Nigeria, registering a company and property is mired in corruption and takes months. Do you see Blue Seed possibly franchising off the coast of nations where it's not so much an issue with immigration, but indigenous business, the sort of government and corruption is pumping the emergency brake on their development?
Yes, I think that's very much something that we want to expand to and are planning for. Indeed, like Blue Seed, like the concept of Blue Seed, and this is probably something that you've covered in other ways while you're covering seasteading, but the concept of Blue Seed is that when there is a highly regulated industry that is therefore performing, you know, inefficiently, it becomes viable to open a business on a cruise ship in that industry. So whether that be off the coast of San Francisco with immigration being highly, you know, highly regulated and controlled, especially in the high tech sector, whether, you know, that's sort of the low hanging fruit. But we would love for Blue Sea 2 to be, you know, maybe Blue Sea 2 would be the same thing off the coast of New York. Maybe Blue Sea 3 would be the same thing off the coast of, who knows, Nigeria, Brazil, Los Angeles, anywhere really. Like this is something that could start once, build anywhere.
Have any other groups or companies approached you with that idea? Like, hey, you know, we're not really interested in being off the coast of Silicon Valley, but why don't you come to us here to where we're located?
Yes, we've had some feelers for that from India. Was the one that was the gentleman that I spoke with most. And we've had people urge us that we should be off the coast of LA as well. We're not against any of those proposals by any means, but it just makes sense for us to start in the place where the technology, infrastructure support system and ecosystem is already.
Right. Establish yourselves a foundation, of course. Actually, India brings up an interesting question. I imagine a lot of the problems they have there, along with corruption, is infrastructure and power. If you're going to have maintain a permanent presence at sea, you're not going to come in for refueling. And I imagine refueling barges would be a little bit inefficient for you 12 miles out with a massive populated facility. How does Blue Seed plan to generate power for like high-tech facilities that are running 3D printers, that are running all this high-tech equipment? Like sort of what's the suite that you have in mind of how you'll maintain the level of power necessary to run these facilities?
Yes, so the interesting thing is that since we'll be stationary, even given high tech sort of projects on board, we're going to consume a lot less fuel than moving a however many ton cruise ship through the
Right.
water at 10 knots. So even with those additional projects, we won't need as much fuel. In addition, we're looking into we're forming partnerships with a couple of solar power companies and essentially other entities that would be interested in showcasing their alternative energy generation on board. That being said, that'll only cover sort of a portion of the energy. It doesn't look like the additional energy needs will be able to be met and through that. So we will be having a, you know, generator that runs on some sort of diesel fuel, and then it's likely that we'll bring that in by barge, but it won't be nearly as much as is required for sort of a standard cruise ship operation of that size.
Have you considered anything that that anchors the vessel to the sea floor, like sort of tidal style power components and the like?
I'm not, and those we have not. I mean, we've certainly looked into, mooring, whether that be single point, multi-point, but not, I'm not, we haven't looked into that particular possibility, no.
Okay. Now, sort of into the more sort of sovereignty technical issues of running Seasteading. Start off with something really easy. Now, you might be flagged, and I understand that you'll be using the laws of the flag nation, and as well as some of the assorted laws that are required for being in close proximity to the United States. But still, how would governance work on board? I mean, will there be some sort of, I suppose, homeowners association or something like that? Will the local populace have any determination in how things are run? And it's sort of like the population has their desires, vice the requirements of a ship having certain requirements for it running and maintaining sort of a safe presence at sea.
All of those things will certainly have a place, and all those factors will certainly be weighed against each other. I mean, we'll be flagged to kind of start out and give it a little bit of a overview here. We'll be flagged under the Bahamas,
Okay.
which is both an easy flag to take up, one of the so-called flags of convenience, but also has a English common law based system of law. So we will have a very sort of, well-known Western system of formal law on the ship. Now, being 12 miles off the, now this is a standard question for cruise ships, how interested the flag state is in enforcing their laws upon the ship. Certainly, if the Bahamas would like to enforce their laws upon Blueseed, we'll have a legal system on board similar to English common law. If perhaps there's some sort of a something happens involving a U.S. citizen on board, and the United States of America would like to take jurisdiction over a particular offense, I wouldn't see any reason why we would say no. We'd like to, maintain. That would seem to be a quite reasonable request
Right.
to accede to. As maintaining sort of day-to-day, maybe you'd call it more of sort of civil, just keeping the peace and neighborliness and
Right.
loud music at 2 a.m. kind of questions. Yeah, I mean, we'll certainly have a combination of, neighborhood associate, neighborhood and desires of the residents, pegged with some sort of uniform sort of safety standards for the ship, and so on and so forth. But it's certainly, I mean, it's certainly going to be a, it's certainly going to involve all parties being heard, and being in consent.
Has there any been sort of consideration put into sort of the technical aspects of that? Do you guys bandying about ideas like, hey, we're gonna work with the populace like this, maybe we'll have, an informal parliament or not, parliament, but just like a community organization, maybe they'll elect an informal president that'll work with the corporation and maybe they'll work with the Bahamian government. Like, have you thrown any sort of the technical details of how you're gonna execute that?
Not yet, not yet. We've formed partnerships with, and we've been speaking with some people that are very well skilled in sort of international arbitration, and those kind of issues in a legal sense. And we envision sort of the internationally accepted standards of arbitration applying on board as in a legal sense,
Right.
but as in what's going to sort of apply on board in political sense, we don't have a good sense of yet. And to be honest, I think this is something also that we'll know better once we understand better what the people on board are going to look like. I mean, they're each of them is going to have particular ideas of what that sort of system should look like. I mean, for example, if looking at if we were going to have some sort of parliamentary system or versus some sort of more American style democracy, you will the preferences of the people on board would probably determine be determined by whether they were coming from, America or, Great Britain, India. So I think a lot of that stuff is still, I wouldn't say, I would say mostly yet to be determined based on the wishes of the residents.
Okay. Sort of, you've touched on this a little bit. You've already touched on law enforcement, sort of civil law. Will you have Flag Nation police on board, or will you have a Blue Seed sort of certified security that's sort of blessed by the Flag Nation? They say, hey, these guys are good to go. Or how are you going to work? How are the personnel going to work on the day-to-day issue of security and law enforcement?
It'll sort of follow the cruise ship model. I mean, the cruise ships have a sort of, they provide their own security force to maintain order and, civility and such on board. And these people are very well trained, very experienced. Maybe sometimes they're retired, kind of retired police officer types. Various types of demographics, but essentially the cruise ships will have a system for taking care of security on board, and we'll sort of tend to follow that kind of arrangement.
All right. And you've also touched on this, but let's say not so much like dealing with the United States for something like an obvious criminal, but let's use the example of like let's say Kim.com, right? He's kind of a ridiculous guy with all of his weird gold boats and mega upload. But let's say you had someone who's like a tech startup executive and they're running something like a data sharing service. How would that work if someone comes into work one day and then, the local law enforcement breaks into their offices, says this guy's under arrest, and he says, "Wait, I'm going to seek asylum here. I'm not going to leave Blue Seed." Do you see yourself just acceding to the demands of local law enforcement, or how do you guys? Because it's not so much a normal crime; it's more of an issue of sort of like data rights and are you allowed to do this? Not like a
Sure.
murderer or something like obvious like that. How do you see you guys yourselves dealing with a situation like that?
Yeah, I think there's a sort of important factor here. We're going to be 12 miles off the coast of San Francisco. That puts us in a and I think maybe in doing seasteading previous sort of interviews and such previously. You've talked about projects that are maybe 200 or 300 miles offshore. The farther you go offshore, the greater degree of
Autonomy.
autonomy you sort of de facto get. When we're 12 miles offshore, because we want our project to be a success, and part of it being a success and part of it being an unambiguously good thing is to have a very good relationship, public image, as well as relationship with the United States government. We're steering clear of startups that could be in maybe gray areas. For example, if there's a financial services startup that could be used for money laundering, we don't want to be a part of that. If there's, we're going to sort of follow the US standard on, so-called sin industries, drugs, prostitution, gambling, and so forth. There's no reason to do it. Those things are not, A, we're not really in favor of those things in the first place. And B, there's no reason to do those things 12 miles off of the coast and unnecessarily sort of, alienate the United States government, who would be really worried about such activities occurring so close to its shores. So when you get to something like a someone like a Kim.com, our business model would be such that a person that kind of controversial would be very, very unlikely to be allowed on board onto Blue Seed in the first place.
Your particular relationship of control on the vessel. How do you see Blue Seed's control versus, the captain of the ship versus the corporation that owns it? Like, because
Sure.
it's not transiting from one location to another. It's a steady state community, so it's a little different than a captain who's just driving around with a crew moving cargo. This is an or a cruise ship that's just taking tourists from one location to another. These are people are living there, they're working there on a day-to-day basis. So
As to how the sort of relationship would work, I mean, again, I think that's an interesting question. A lot of that will be sort of, I mean, the ship captains, typically on a ship have high amounts of, authority. I mean, essentially, like, they have authority to make, to be the law,
Right.
traditionally. That won't, I think, be so much the case. I mean, it'll certainly be the case that they'll have a high degree of authority, but perhaps, but I think these other structures that we're discussing, international arbitration, some sort of political system, structure yet to be determined, those sort of questions will highly influence that, because each of these structures will also have a certain degree of influence and authority over the day-to-day operations of the ship, in a way that isn't the case with temporary communities such as found on cruise ships or small sort of like staff communities. Perhaps a better model would be something like, if you're familiar with the Residency Project, which is a long-term living arrangement.
I have seen that. That was one of the issues we talked about. I think your project, of course, is far more impressive because that seems, to be frank, I mean, which is not a mark against it, more of a floating country club, whereas yours is a functional. You're trying to build essentially an at sea, a commercial entrepot where you're really trading in ideas, and that's your main ones.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. That's, I mean, those are pretty much our feelings as well.
Now, with regards to the future, more sort of questions of where you're going. Let's say you have a series of franchises. You really get out there. You're on Blue Seed number 4, Blue Seed number 5. Do you see a point where Blue Seed will no longer seek a flag nation? I know the Seasteading Institute talks a lot about nations of the future will be built on the sea. Do you see that as potentially Blue Seed's future? Do you see your not just seasteading in general, but your particular project eventually seeking its own agency?
That's an interesting question. So I think to one thing that should sort of be mentioned here is the vision of seasteading, is the idea that people would essentially live long term on the ocean in what's known as dynamic governance, which is that essentially you are able to choose your, essentially there are groups of people living kind of under different groups of laws depending on what they prefer best, and people are living on sort of mobile vessels, somewhat redundant, but mobile vessels that are able to detach from one sort of community and attach to a different sort of community, thus being able to choose the jurisdiction that they live under, being able to choose the set of laws that they're governed by, being able to choose all those things. Now, a lot of that idea of dynamic governance that's sort of setting is focused on, I would say, presumes a kind of, I mean, a modularity in the construction of vessels and, residences, vessel
It
residences.
also sounds like it presumes also a modularity and or at least a very easy transition with law, because if for you it's easy because you will ostensibly have the Bahamas as a flag. But if I was a company, if I was a corporation, and I'm part of one of these modular units, and now I'm shifting from nation to nation. Do you have any ideas on how that would work if nations are just coming together and coming apart and their governance is changing? How would a company like register itself or deal with other countries that are more traditional? You know, they're on the ground, they have a set of laws, they don't change. How would corporations at sea deal with sort of interface with the mainland that way?
So I think corporations so to kind of talk about that a little bit, I think corporations are probably unlikely to be registered on seasteading enterprises for the simple reason that while they might not be extremely permanent, while they might not be extremely temporary, they're unlikely to be as permanent as, say, the United States of America. I mean, it's the same reason that you might not want to register in, I'll pick a company or a country, South Sudan, just because even apart from sort of the legal sense, this country is just 2 years old, and you don't know what's going to happen in the future, with sort of that legal structure. To talk about right now we kind of over time the seasteading communities will you know by sheer force of staying around theoretically assume the same kind of permanence that the United States of America has assumed over the last 200 and some odd years and thus be seen as trustworthy places to to register your corporation. I mean, corporations are legal entities. They don't like people are the important essentially like the primary thing is people, and you can register your company somewhere else and choose your place that you'd like to register your company. But where you're sort of the idea of seasteading is having individual sort of people and families and their possessions and things that are important to them, and having them be able to choose where they live and the laws that they're governed under. And sort of to transition this a little bit to Bluesy, the modularity that the idea of seasteading involves is not necessarily one that Bluesy will offer, simply because we're going to be on a 1,000-person cruise ship. That's not a modularly constructed
Right.
unit. Obviously, if we could, if there was some way to modularly construct it, we'd love to do that, but it probably won't be the case, at least right now.
So you see the future of seasteading, not necessarily as what the Seasteading Institute is saying. These are nations, but you see them less in the issue of these are nations, they have laws, they have governments, but more, I'm an individual, I choose to associate with these individuals. So, yeah, maybe it's a module that's flagged under the Bahamas and another one that's under the Seychelles and another one under Mauritius. That part, what you see as the most important part is, I'm an entrepreneur or I'm a venture capitalist, I'm out here because this is where the ideas are happening. That's what you see as the most important issue.
I mean, I think it's two different ways of looking at the same issue. I mean, nations, they talk about, nations. I love this idea of creating new nations and new sort of political, new experimenting with new ways of governing things. And I think that's what sort of they spend a lot of time talking about that. I mean, individually about seasteading, and I love the idea of, I love the idea of people being able to be in the, be with their families in the environment, like legal, political community, that they are the happiest under. So I think it's just a difference in focus in the way that people talk about the same vision. But again, that's not, I'm not, sh Blueseed's relationship to that is more that Blueseed is sort of one of the first, kind of the first instantiations of something that looks like seasteading.
Right. Okay. I was just trying to draw a contrast between what seems like Blueseed's attempt is to remove legal obstacles. So its purpose seems largely both business and entrepreneurial, but legal, like these barriers exist, where what you describe with seasteading, as the Seasteading Institute imagines it, is more of a relationship thing between individuals, between people with ideas. Or you understand what I mean? It seems like two different, not incompatible, but two very different sort of ideas on moving forward.
Yes, and I think that's because that we're essentially aiming to achieve different things. I think the Seasteading Institute, and we're very familiar with them. All of us are sort of affiliated, or have been affiliated with the Seasteading Institute in various capacities in the past. They're kind of focused on the long-term vision. Like, what is this thing going to look like 20 years out, 30 years out, 40 years out? We're definitely excited about that. And we also feel that one of the things that's going to help the movement that far out is for them to be able to point to, look, and these people affiliated with us did something that looks a lot like what we want to do. Not completely the same, but many similarities. And they did it, already. And I think we both share, Blue Seed and the Seasitting Institute, a firm commitment to the idea that, as people are able to choose, as people are able to move between borders, as people are able to sort of form communities as according to their desires, as people are able to have a greater voice in the governance systems that they're a part of, that is where happiness and prosperity comes from. And that's sort of a common value, common idea, common theme and thread that unites both of us, and that really unites our projects.
Right. And I mean, obviously, as you're talking about, this is a very big idea. One of your big backers is Peter Thiel. He's kind of a big idea kind of guy. Who are some of your other big backers? Not necessarily just money, but also influence that are standing behind this project, who are supporting it, who are sort of pushing this thing forward.
One of our other people that we've been working with a lot is Mike Maples from Floodgate Fund. He's a local venture capitalist. In addition, we've been forming partnerships with a lot of people that are working on similar problems. There's Black Box Mansion, which is essentially a place for international entrepreneurs to gather and share ideas here in Silicon Valley. We're working with the translation is something like Entrepreneurial Poland, which is a group which is a network of 40 business incubators in Poland. It's one of the largest networks in Europe. Has kind of offices, incubators, nurturing up and coming startup talent, providing funding in universities across Poland. We're working with numerous sort of of these incubator programs that work with entrepreneurs around the world, from Portugal to India, and really sort of build a broad-based network of support for Blue Seed.
Cool. Along those lines, I guess, not so much individuals or corporations. Where do you see most of the foreign interest coming from? We talked a little bit about India. We talked a little bit about Poland just now. But where do you see the vast majority of this interest in coming to the United States, or at least coming to Blue Seed, being involved in this project? What countries do you see most of this interest coming from?
Well, up to now, we've had 900 people, plus a few, apply to be on board Blue Seed. Those are from 300. Those are 300 startup companies involved in 58 different countries. There's a significant chunk, almost 30%, that are actually from the United States who are interested in being on board Blue Seed just because it's going to be such a cool, awesome, and amazing space to live and work. They love the idea of that. They love the idea of sort of living in this, college, this kind of cool college dormitory type environment with the free-flowing ideas and an international community. After that, you have several. The next sort of most interested nations, people from India, people from the UK, people from Spain, people from Canada, and people from Australia.
Canada? That's
Canada.
a surprising one. I mean, Seattle's right there, I mean.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, it's really interesting too. I mean, look at the laws. Like, Canadians have a visa waiver, which basically means they can come into the US just by showing their Canadian passport. They don't need to. And I mean, and we're the same way with Canada, right? You can just drive across the border and show your US passport. But as to actually being able to immigrate sort of long term into the United States, Canadians actually face many of the same barriers that people from across the world do. We've had, let me check, that's over 30, I think it's 35 people from Canada apply to be on board Bluesy. But yeah, then, I mean, then you just sort of go down the list. I mean, I would say, just to kind of, without giving you a laundry list of all 58
Of course.
countries, I would say that a lot of the interest is from, I mean, after from the United States, is from Western Europe, followed by quite a few from India and China, and then a smattering of the rest of the world after that. But many, I would say many, perhaps 30 or 40% of interest is from people from countries in Western Europe.
And what would you say the kind of interest? What kind of interest have you seen from Africa?
From Africa, there hasn't honestly been so much
Hmm.
interest as of yet. Now that could be several sort of reasons. One is that we haven't really focused on sort of press and media push in Africa. Once we get closer to launch, that's going to be something that we're going to be pushing more on, but we simply haven't yet made that kind of effort. It hasn't been on the top of our priority list.
Okay. And what the sort of businesses you have on board, what would you say? All right, we're talking about who's there, who's backing it, who's coming. What do you see as the industries that are most interested in Blue Seed?
Well, the Bluesy takes from industries sort of across the technologies spectrum. We're talking e-commerce, people setting up sort of shop sort of portals for particular goods and services to be sold. We're talking some artificial, like people are working on kind of like interesting, artificial intelligence type things. People are working on selling interesting kind of, cute nifty products, customized. There's a specific type of customized business card company that's on board. There's a sort of platform for, peer-to-peer translation, where even though I'm not, if I mean I speak English, and then I speak a decent amount of Hindi, so if I wanted to set myself as a translator up between English to Hindi, I could put my profile and there's on the website and sort of start working on jobs, establish a reputation, and so on and so forth. I think there's many sort of fields across there. There's enterprise software, people writing enterprise software. There's people writing web applications, online multiplayer games. We're really, one of the things that has really interested us is that there isn't any, particular part where in the technology space that these people are very focused on. I mean, pretty much the only thing that they share in common is that their businesses involve having a good sort of technology piece of software, code that they have on a website, and that they get customers by their users going to their website. I mean, beyond sort of that sort of level of generality, it really spans throughout the technology spectrum.
Now, one particular technology, I noticed that you advertise that you'll have 3D printers on board. Are those purely for the different businesses to sort of experiment, or do you see those as actually being involved in the direct operation of the ship and making products day to day that people will use and trying to integrate sort of those efficiencies and that streamlined logistical chain into how you're going to run Bluestream?
So that's a th that's an interesting question. I think to kind of talk a little bit about, again, so that a little bit of that gets back to the idea that we're of what we're doing with, for example, something that would not go very well on Blue Seed is some sort of large scale manufacturing operation, because
Right.
that requires a lot of heavy machinery, real estate, so on and so forth. I haven't seen us talk about 3D printers, so I'm not sure kind of what the source is on that. So you'll have to sort of enlighten, Where did you see that yourself?
I was looking through one of your PowerPoints. It was only a single bullet point, but it's a particular issue that our blog is really interested in. So I thought maybe there was something, but I totally understand. It's sort of like one of the hot new technologies, and I could see why it's being on board. But
Oh, yeah.
we have a lot of stuff where we talk about, in particular, how it could be used. Particularly in navies, to minimize logistical chains, build repair parts, battlefield reclamation, that kind of stuff. So we thought, hey, maybe Blue Seed's considering using these kinds of things like bolts and nuts and pipes and different kinds of things that you need to repair on the boat so you don't need to bring supplies in.
Well, certainly we're not, opposed to that possibility. That's and we're familiar with the, obviously we're familiar with the concept of 3D printers in general, but certainly the marine applications of that. And maybe we should continue our conversation on this off the record. You might have some interesting things
Hey,
to
we're hope that's why SimSec exists. You know, we're
tell
not
me.
we're hoping someone's listening to our ideas.
Oh, yes.
One maybe another sort of off the cap technology that we've been looking at is has Blue Seed looked at all like making fresh water? There's brine, and there was a recent TED talk about the use of biomining to produce magnesium and other sort of raw minerals. Has Blue Seed looked into that? Because I know with you being out there at sea, you're going to have to produce a large amount of fresh water for all these people on board. Have you looked into that? Is that sort of one of the technologies that Blue Seed has considered using on board?
So I think the one of the overriding principles we're looking at a lot is the concept of off-the-shelf technology. Like people have approached us with sort of like models for a number of things. For on the power generation side, looking at wave energy conversion, looking at building some sort of custom sort of power thing for that. There's obviously these other sort of technical questions such as, fresh water. Because these questions are so important, one of the things that we want to do is use readily, and this is something that we're big into as a company in general, is using off-the-shelf technology for a new purpose. Essentially, we feel that like at Blue Seed, we're doing something innovative enough. While we're certainly excited about new technologies relating to water purification, that's not necessarily something we want to have on board. Those new technologies, we'd use more of an existing system, such as a again, it's typically used in a cruise ship. Simply be especially for purchasing a cruise ship that would already have that system installed. And that's especially because we don't want to have we want to have as few points of possible failure as
Right,
possible.
of course. That makes sense. So the point, of course, I mean, in the way you've discussed is the point of Blue Seed is to model a way of life, and what I'm really discussing is sort of modeling these different high-tech, fun technologies, but really for you, the practical application is if these fun whiz-bang thing that I just bought fails, then the big part of the project turns into a mess.
Exactly, and I think this is something else that sort of relates to the Seasteading Institute in the sense that it's cool. If you look at the more sort of long-term picture, of course these things would be great to have on a permanent community, not only after they've sort of been tested further, but sort of in as the model's better established. And I think we're as excited about these things as you are, but we're not focusing on them just because we see them as more of sort of something to explore in the longer term, as opposed to something that we want to implement like, next week or the next 6 months.
Right, of course. I'll throw two last questions out here. I know you've got things to do, revolutions to start, and what have you. The Last two questions. What are the top three potential cities you see for Blue Seed East? And finally, so how did you get involved in this project? What sort of inspired you to jump on board something like this?
So Blue Seed East, there's several, I think there's several candidates. Los Angeles it would be a nice place to put it. Still sort of within shooting distance of California. You get sort of a different side of the state. New York would be another good location. You'll have the weather there would be a little bit more challenging, both from the sort of hurricane side as well as sort of from just the general sort of temperature and climate side. And solving, a way to solve that would, another just within sort of within the United States, something down. We've received some feelers from people in Miami. There's a lot of sort of investment money around Miami. Might not be the right kind of money that we're looking for, but interesting enough that we'd kind of look into that in the future. Those are sort of three kind of top, I wouldn't say they're the three top candidates, but certainly three top candidates for Blue Seed 2. Me personally, I think I'll kind of start with a little bit about my personal story. And I'm half Indian. My mother was born in Germany, moved to the United States. My father was born in India. So she moved when she was about six, so she moved with her family. My father moved with his he moved to go to college to do a master's program, stayed for his PhD, met my mother, who was by this time an American citizen. And actually, my father graduated from a PhD program at Penn State. He went back to India, to Bombay, to visit his family, see his parents, to see his cousins, and then was, about to return and was sort of just checking out the visa that, sort of thought, did this as a little bit of an afterthought. Oh, what visa can I return on? And the immigration officer just sort of looked at him and was like, you can't go back. And my father just kind of looked at him and was like, why not? And the immigration officer was like, well, you've finished your studies, you're not working, so you can't go back to the United States. And I mean, my father just completed a PhD in biochemistry from a pretty good American university, and this didn't make any sense to him. His solution was to call my mother at 5 o'clock in the morning Pennsylvania time and propose to her over the phone, which neatly sort of sidestepped the issue and led to led to their marriage, which they were kind of planning on anyway, but maybe hastened the process. And a few years later, my sister and I came along. But this having that as kind of having that in
Sort of,
my
you were born, not necessarily this is the root of it, but you're almost born from the very problem Blue Seed is designed to solve.
I suppose you could put it that way, yes. And I, as a result, I have a pretty personal connection with the issue. It's something that I see and think about a lot, whether that be in terms of immediate family members who I'm close with, trying to also come to the United States, or whether that be in terms of just seeing my parents and my family around me. I'm also very invested in the issue of of entrepreneurship. I mean, I went to school at Stanford. That's a pretty big hub of entrepreneurship that feeds into Silicon Valley, and started became very involved with the technology community as well as the idea of startups and starting a new business, like pursuing an idea and trying to see if it would work, if you could improve, if it would be an improvement on existing sort of on existing technologies and systems. And I became very excited about those things. Blue Seed sort of I became affiliated with the folks at Blue Seed May of last year, and sort of came on board in started helping them out in September, actually a year ago, of last year, shortly after they launched the project. So I mean, we're all very committed to the idea of, people moving across borders, sharing ideas, sharing knowledge, and that leading to new technologies and better ways of living. And that's something that I think binds me to Blueseed and really binds our Blueseed team together.
Yeah, it sounds really amazing. Any final thoughts?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how things play out in the future. I mean,
Absolutely.
there's a lot of exciting exciting sort of adventures ahead, and I'm really interested and excited to see where those go, and I'm excited to stay in touch with you as
Absolutely.
those move forward.
No, we're not planning on going anywhere. Well, Mr. Bhagwat, it's been an absolute pleasure. This has been fascinating. This is a really exciting project. We wish you the best of luck, and of course, we'll be around, so we'll keep pestering you as long as you accept our Skype calls.
Well, pleasure talking to you today, Matthew.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, I'm Matthew Hipple. I've been speaking with Mr. Sam Bhagwat, the Chief Financial Officer of Blueseed, and I hope you've enjoyed our interview.